Welcome to Not Another Anxiety Show. I'm your host, Kelly Walker, and joining me today is my co-host from thebabybroad.com. Hi, Erica.
I was in the middle of a voice exercise just then.
Peter Piper.
Do you think it makes a difference?
Is that a voice exercise?
Probably not. No, that's a tongue twister.
Okay.
Close.
I feel like it could help with enunciation.
I've told you my trick to get for public speaking. I slit a sheet. And on a slitted sheet, I sit. And you have to say it really fast because you swear. And it's funny.
Yeah.
So did I swear then? Because sometimes I do it and I just think it's really funny.
We won't have to make it explicit. You're good.
Yeah.
Look at
you. Great. Nailing it.
All right,
hey, guess what today is?
What? Your panic-iversary.
You know what day it is.
I know what day it is. Your panic-iversary.
I know.
So here's what I really love about this. What? You're not celebrating the day you quote-unquote overcame anxiety. You're celebrating the first day. Yeah, you're celebrating the first day it really hit hard and kind of grabbed you.
Right.
Grabbed the reins.
Right by the,
life. Right
by the fellas. Yeah, so March 10th, 2015, which it always seems like it was 14 years ago, but it was two years ago.
Yeah.
Which the only reason I remember that date is because my mom's birthday is the 11th. So it's the day before my mom's birthday. It's all on a blog. You can go read it if you want. But
everybody
long
needs
story
to.
Short,
it was so good. I loved that blog.
Well, it's like the synopsis of I had like a really busy time at work. I was really like so overstressed. So like not taking care of myself, so run down. And I had like a really weird week that culminated in this like impressively beautiful, horrifying panic attack that brought me to urgent care. And this poor doctor looked at me because I looked him straight in the face and was like, I think I have an ear infection that has gone septic and it's now in my heart. And he was like, oh, LOL.
You can't say we're not creative. You can't say.
Right? Right? But I was dead serious. I'm like, because my ears had been ringing and I was like, I was getting that sort of, and we're going to talk about our topic today. I'm so excited, is lightheadedness. But you know that feeling when you have like high blood pressure and you can hear like the whooshing in your ears?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Or it doesn't always have to be high blood pressure, but you know when you like...
Or just hear your heart in your ears.
Yeah, or you stand up too quick and you feel that thing like throbbing in your ears.
Mm-hmm.
It was that for like a week. So I'm like, there's something wrong. I ended up at the urgent care and this guy looked at me and he was like, have you ever heard of the term panic attacks? And I was like, oh my God. So that started this whole journey for me and it got really weird and really wild. And I just felt like... I want to celebrate this. I want to celebrate the last 2 years, which thank God this happened. Because had that really horrible time not happened, I wouldn't have this really awesome time. So I'm making dinner. I am like, I'm pulling out all the stops. I love to cook. I love to cook for my people. I can't wait. I'm making decadent, awesome things. We're going to have wine. I got everybody a little card and a little present. Oh, you should be here. I don't know what your problem is. You were my anxiety coach. What's
I know.
Your problem?
I was just
you weren't invited.
You. I was like, I love my nephew. He's so cute. He turns one tomorrow. And I was like, and I told you, I was like, if I didn't have my nephew's birthday invited or not, that menu sounds amazing. And I'd be there.
Oh my God. I cannot wait. I'm so, and I unapologetically texted my little crew of exactly six people, by the way. And said, I'm celebrating my panic-iversary. You need to be there for dinner. It wasn't a request. I didn't wait for someone to like acknowledge it. I'm doing this for me. This is treat yourself. This is my party. I am throwing myself a party. Everyone's like, they don't get it at all. Everybody's like, okay, are you okay? I'm like, just be there with a smile. Like, just know I'm excited. If it's important to me, it should be important to you. That's all you need to know. Show up. And you're not allowed to wear pants with buttons. You have to wear yoga pants.
You have to wear yoga pants.
Or some
pants
kind of sweat.
And a hoodie. Yeah. Or sweat or something. Yeah. Sweatpants, sweatshirt.
Sports bras all around.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds like a pretty fun night to me.
Yeah. You can celebrate this weird, crazy stuff.
And I love how it's, you're not celebrating some like end date of anxiety. You're just celebrating this wild ride that has been the last 2 years and all that growth and just,
yeah,
I think
when you think you're really going to die, cause that's what panic did for me.
Me too. Yeah.
I really thought on many a night, this is it. And when I can like wake up today and go, that was the start of that. Where did I come from? Like, holy cow.
And looking at today, it's just so easy to be grateful for things that maybe the average person doesn't notice, you know, might not notice or might not see. No. It's kind of a silver lining. Like, God, this just feels like magnificent.
It does. It feels like a good stretch. It feels like I'm so weird about this party, and I'm just really with no expectations. The beautiful thing about it, the reason I'm so excited is that it's nothing's happening. Like, all my friends are like, what are we going to do? We're going to have the best time. I'm like, we might not. That's the best part. It's going to be so mundane. It's going to be me making dinner and having wine in my living room and listening to something on, you know, my Alexa, you know, it's, you know, or maybe we'll watch The Office. That's what I want though. I want to have a normal, boring day. And to celebrate that 2 years ago today, it was the least boring day of my life. And I thought I was going to die. Like,
when it hit me, yeah. I went to, you say urgent care. I called an ambulance the first time.
Did you really?
I'm kind of surprised
I didn't.
It was unlike anything I'd ever felt. All I could think was, I feel really weird and I was really bewildered by it. Even though I had had panic attacks before, this time was different because I was bewildered and it showed up and felt a little different than it had in the past, which, you know, ups the bewilderment factor. When it's new and novel, it's a lot easier to misinterpret it as dying.
Yeah. Well, because when they tell you that you could have an impending sense of doom, they are not joking around.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. It's, you cannot even believe the doom that comes into your brain.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't, I was like, well, I remember having a moment. I was like, well, at least I, you know, met Andy and traveled all these cool places already. Oh, like, man. It really feels so real in the moment. It feels so, so real. It feels so.
Yeah.
Today we're actually going to talk about the anxiety symptom that was the stickiest of all for me. The bane of my existence, that feeling like I was going to faint or pass out. That was the stickiest symptom of all time for me. The one that really grabbed me, really
was
bewildered
this,
me.
Well, I love your stories of, I love your stories of hearing that you couldn't even watch it on TV.
No.
Like, you couldn't even, hashtag couldn't even, just like I couldn't even with heart stuff. And so we're talking about like lightheadedness, feeling like you're going to faint. Does dizziness play into this?
So dizziness and feeling lightheaded it's often used interchangeably, but like, so speaking as a nurse from like a medical point of view, they're very different. So dizziness is like, say you have vertigo and the room's spinning, or if you've had a few too many drinks, that's dizziness. Like when your balance is off.
Sometimes both of those things happen to me on a Friday night in Troy. I'm not a role model.
Yeah. So that's dizziness. Right. That's dizziness.
Dizziness was my jam / is my jam when I get stressed. So I guess I have nothing to say. Never mind.
No, that's okay. So feeling, so have you ever felt like you were going to pass out where like your vision kind of tunnels in and you feel nauseous or woozy?
Oh yeah. Okay. And during the height of anxiety, I always say during anxiety, like I don't ever get anxious. Everybody gets anxious.
Yeah.
During the height of like the meat of anxiety.
Like the sensitized.
Absolutely. Mode. Yeah. Dizziness happens so once in a while. I have like a wave of like, oof, you know, not often, but just like anything, just like, you know, sometimes my hands get clammy or whatever, but lightheadedness was huge for me. And it was so scary because I thought it was connected to my heart because it's what we do. We just make these connections.
Yeah.
Girl, get it. All right, explain everything I need to know.
That's why it was really sticky for me because that I've never actually fainted in my life. I felt woozy once in nursing school, and if I hit like a joint really hard, sometimes I'll get like, you know, a little lightheaded for a second and sit down. I've never actually lost.
Wait, hit a joint like if you're cutting an arm off, or hit your own arm?
Hit my own joint, like like your funny bone.
Just clarifying.
Like hitting your funny bone or jamming fingers. No, that's probably.
I just
got
this like vision of you, like, yeah, when I'm like in the middle of nursing and I hit a joint.
You're like, what? Can you please clarify? I've never actually lost consciousness, and you know, Andy will probably kill me, but like he faints all the time. Like I've seen him faint, you know, several
times. Andy, I know you're listening to this right now.
He's a fainter.
You you come to Troy, I will marry you. You're being abused.
I know. Poor Andy. Funny enough, he's not anxious about it because it's something that has happened to him quite a bit. And, you know, part of what made fainting so scary for me is I just automatically assumed that it was a heart problem. And we'll get into this later. I mean, fainting is very rarely the result of, you know, an actual medical issue. But that's where the stickiness came for me, because it wasn't just fainting. It was, oh my God, I'm going to faint and then I'm not going to wake up because I have this heart arrhythmia or, you know, heart failure or heart something, right? Heart fail, whatever it might be. And yeah. I mean, this symptom is challenging for a lot of us because as people that struggle with anxiety, we don't typically like feeling out of control, and passing out is pretty much the ultimate loss of control. So it's a hard one to swallow.
Yeah, that is that there are few of these physical symptoms that make you feel so out of control, like the potential to pass out. That is really sticky.
Yeah. So let's talk science for a minute, because it's my favorite thing. Let's talk science for a minute. Why do we faint? Well, like anxiety, fainting is actually meant to protect. It's meant to protect us. It's meant to help us. Unlike most animals, you know, the fact that we kind of stand on 2 feet, we stand upright, our hearts have to fight gravity to get blood and oxygen to our brains. So if that is impeded in any way, and it's kind of an easy thing to do, like being dehydrated, our body falls to the ground so that our heart can more readily pump oxygen-rich blood to our brain.
This fascinates me.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Like, sort of kidding. But no, truly, the reasons why these things happen have been so interesting to me.
Yeah. A lot of us, you know, again, it kind of goes back to our last episode. A lot of us that struggle with anxiety, we're kind of thinkers. So we love understanding the way things work and how they come together. But getting back to it for a minute, basically, we faint when we're not getting enough blood flow to our brain. So humans are far more likely to faint than any of our four-legged friends, like dogs, you know, whose heads are pretty much in a line with their heart.
Well, they also have the brain of a pea. What, I'm not being funny. Are there animals that faint other than fainting goats?
Yeah. Don't so animals, goats. Animals can faint. And that's kind of what I was actually getting to, you know, animals can faint. I mean, with humans, 4 out of 10 humans will faint at some point in their life. It's really quite common and rarely due to something serious. It can be because we get too hot or, because we're a little bit dehydrated or because we see something gross, or it's really very rarely that it's something serious. But for animals, again, since their heart is in a line with their head, it's much more difficult for them to faint. And it usually only happens if there's like a serious underlying medical issue, like, you know, a heart or neurological problem.
Hump.
So there you go. Think about it. Like, I remember kind of wondering that same question. I mean, just, again, 4 out of 10 humans will faint, and it's like less than 1 in 10 dogs will faint. It's really quite rare.
I'm blown away that animals can faint. I'm like, stuck. I'm not listening to anything else you're saying because I'm like really stuck on that.
And not to be too nerdy or too well, actually, fainting goats don't actually faint. They don't lose consciousness. So
I stopped listening to you because it's the nerdiest thing that's about to ever happen.
They're actually awake. So anyway, moving on.
wildlife biology. I forget.
I have a soft spot. I mean, I subscribe to Nat Geo and volunteer at the SPCA. I got a soft spot, you know.
When do you have time to volunteer?
I walk dogs in the afternoons. Not every afternoon.
You do?
Yeah. Did I never tell you that?
Kelly, I talk to you every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never heard you say that.
Oh yeah. I walk, you know, you can work with like dogs, cats and whatnot there, but I walk the dogs and I walk those dogs and then I come home and I walk my dogs on a walk. So, you know, a good portion of my life is spent with dogs. I actually almost came home. I almost came home with a really cute dog named Buddy, but 2 is probably enough. So
Andy, Troy, New York, 12180. Just drive here. I won't ask questions.
I can't imagine if I, you know, had a third dog at home. It's kind of like, there's not enough hands for dogs then. It's like one dog per person is fair. And like my in-laws, like my sister-in-law, she's a saint and she'll watch 2 dogs. But I feel like if we crossed that third dog threshold, nobody would watch our dogs anymore when we went away.
I know. No. Just no. I'm putting my foot down.
More dogs. Anyway. I would like more dogs.
Oh, wait. Shut up. Lightheadedness. What do you do? I'm so stuck on these dogs. But what do you do? What? I feel like the thing that really helped me was that Navy breath thing that we talk about once in a while, because you helped me understand the whole oxygen, carbon dioxide.
Well, yeah, let's explain that to people for a second so that we can share some breathing exercises that help, because funny enough, when we're afraid or anxious, our blood pressure and therefore blood flow are actually higher than normal. And, you know, if you remember from a minute ago, fainting is caused by a decrease in blood flow. So why are we feeling faint? If you remember from a minute ago, right?
If you remember from 1 second ago when I said this already.
Yeah. If you remember from a minute ago,
you're so
guys.
Mean to me. I do remember that. Cool. It was a minute ago.
So if we're having, if blood flow is reaching our brain, why are we feeling faint? And it's all due to the way we're breathing. When we're anxious, people out there have probably noticed this, when we're anxious, we take really fast, shallow breaths, which disrupts this ideal balance of oxygen and carbon dioxide in our bloodstream. So even though we feel like we're suffocating and not getting enough air, we actually end up with too much oxygen. And you wouldn't think too much oxygen could ever be a bad thing, but what it does is it constricts our blood vessels. So they shrink a bit when there's too much oxygen. And that constriction of our blood vessels can impede blood flow to our brain a little bit, but only to a certain extent. It's really self-limiting. But that is why we may feel like a bit of tunnel vision, see spots, that lightheaded, woozy feeling. But
did you ever feel like your head was vibrating?
Yeah.
Does that count? I just remember feeling like really lightheaded and like sort of faint. I love that we're talking about this and I feel lightheaded talking about being lightheaded just because. Did you ever do that? It's like saying yawn.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. That gets me. There's something there.
Every time. Anyway, no, I always felt like my head was vibrating. I don't know how to describe it. Like tingly or something.
Oh, tingly. That's a good one for another day. Like why it feels tingly. I mean, again, it's due to.
Yeah, they're all the same.
It's due to the hyperventilation. It really is.
Yeah. I love this though.
A lot of changes happen because of hyperventilation.
Because I really thought when I felt that way, I needed to take these big, like gasping breaths. But you explained to me, like you need to breathe out more. Like you need to breathe out for a longer period of time than breathing in. That's why people breathe into a paper bag. That's why.
As counterintuitive as it feels. Yeah. We want to actually kind of increase our levels of carbon dioxide, you know, as again, we think of carbon dioxide as like a bad thing. That's what happens from smoke inhalation, yada, yada. But that is why we breathe into a brown paper bag, or why you've seen people doing that, which isn't always super user friendly. Like, you know, if you're on the subway or among coworkers, it's a little hard to whip out your brown paper bag. I mean, you could, no shame in it, no shame, but you know, I can imagine some of us don't exactly want to do that.
Right.
So really something, you mentioned the Navy breath, something as simple as just holding your breath for a few seconds.
Yeah.
Really, something as simple as just holding your breath for a few seconds, or breathing into your sleeve or a scarf. Kind of like the way you would a brown paper bag. So when
you're right.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
You'll know when it's working. You'll know when it's working because your breathing slows down and you feel a little less like you're dying.
It goes pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I like the, you've done the square breath, the square breathing exercise. I liked the, I always get the timing wrong. It doesn't really matter, but it was like a 4-5-8 or 4-5-4-6-8 maybe.
4-7.
Something, it doesn't matter, but you breathe in for four,
hold for
you
seven.
Hold it seven, you breathe out for eight.
Yep.
That thing.
And that can be really hard. I mean, that can be really challenging to, I remember trying to do that and I could only like breathe out for like three counts. I'm like, how do people breathe out?
Well, but there's a couple things that happen though. One, you're being mindful.
Yep.
So things just dissipate quicker anyway when you're doing that. And then the longer you are doing that, then you're able to when you're really like keyed up, you might not be able to do it. And it is sort of an exercise to like build that kind of stamina. But even if you only breathe in for three, you know, and you hold it for three and breathe out for four, you know,
yep.
Something.
Yeah. And honestly, there was a lot of times I like, I just never really mastered it. I didn't practice it when I was relaxed or calm. I never really mastered like, breathing exercises like that. So for me, it was like holding my breath would kind of hit the reset button or just breathing into my sleeve a few times. That helped me. And other times, it was simply like acknowledging, I'm like, oh yeah, my breathing's off. And often I would kind of stop what I was doing when I felt that way. And when I kind of gently, I can remember it so vividly while making an apple pie, I started to feel like,
an apple pie.
And I was peeling and cutting apples for an apple pie. And, I felt that, it was a really kind of strong case of hyperventilation. Like I was starting to like see stars a little bit and I felt like I couldn't even concentrate on the apples and, I just felt like really faint.
When was this? Did you know what was happening by then? Or
yeah, it was a little, it wasn't like in the beginning of like the bewildering stage of anxiety. It was when I had been around the block a few times. So that in part is what made it easier to kind of acknowledge it. And I didn't change my breathing. I didn't do anything. I just continued with my apples. And funny enough, in like, I think it was like 2 or 3 minutes, I was like, oh, hey. My breathing's fine. Like, oh, cool. And I like, I don't know when it got fine.
You get distracted after a while. Like, if you don't, like I said, I know we're not talking about dizziness, but that's been a recent thing for me and, or any of these things. You know, once in a while I'll feel that like what I used to misconstrue as like a heart palpitation, but it's just, I don't know, a weird esophagus jump, which everybody gets. It's just what you notice. But if you just sort of let it go for a second, if you don't stare at it and go, I'm just going to monitor this to see if I'm okay. If you let it go, you kind of get distracted by the other things going on in your day. And maybe later you go, oh, yeah, I survived that thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
wasn't that big of a deal.
Exactly. Like, I know, you know, understanding an anxiety symptom, like the knowledge behind it, doesn't necessarily eliminate the fear of it right away. But understanding it makes it, like, once we've been around the block a few times with it and kind of understand why it happens and what's going on, it just makes us a little more likely to, like, lean into the fear and take those baby steps.
This is, we talked at the beginning about my panic-iversary, and I know that 2 years is not a long period of time. The only benefit to my very incredibly stubborn personality is that I don't have any patience for my nonsense. So I think I just happened to catch it really quickly and happened to deal with it efficiently in my world. Like for me, it just happened to work out that period of time.
Right.
But, the stickiness of that health anxiety, it took a really long time. Like once things started to kick in, it went really quickly, which you talk to, I think all your clients about, this will go quicker than you think once it kicks in.
Right.
You know, but in the meantime though, understanding this, it was very slow, like baby steps of, I did not feel better. The knowledge of this didn't make me feel better, but it gave me a little tiny bit of space to understand that I was okay. Like cognitively, like I knew I was okay. And then from there, it was just the practice of like learning to trust it.
Right.
And then once it kicked in, it was like, oh, I'm fine. You know?
Right. Exactly. So like just kind of understanding why some of these symptoms happen and what they look like in our body. And that knowledge does create like a little bit of space to like move forward. Just a little bit of space to sometimes, not every time, kind of move forward with life, even when anxiety is screaming like, oh my God, you're going to faint, sit down, stop what you're doing. Don't go there. Don't do that. And once we have that knowledge, it makes it a little easier to say, you know, I am going to kind of just keep doing my thing for now. And as we lean into it more and more, that's when like a deeper understanding, like those aha moments come. Like it starts off as like an intellectual understanding, like, oh, okay, this is what happens when I'm anxious. This is why I feel faint. But there's some lag time between that and when we're like, I know this is just, this is just anxiety. Like I know it for what it is. And, but we get there by taking each little baby step.
It feels like it can be really disappointing if you don't know that that takes time.
Yeah, it can be.
You know, you feel like you're letting yourself
perpetually disappointed with how long it took when I was in. I don't know where we get these expectations. Like, I don't. No one told me it was supposed to be faster.
You Google something and you see the 5 steps to whatever,
and you're like, yep, okay, got it.
Like, I must yeah. be okay now. And
yeah,
it getting it to like that, we talk about this so much, but that part of your brain that's being activated by this fear is millions of years old. Yep. The part of your brain that understands the Dr. Oz article is thousands of years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a, like, a really old habit, an evolved habit that you alone are not going to break. This is, we just have to learn how to deal with it. Yep. You're not going to, it's not going to go away. That part of your brain exists. So sorry.
Right. Yeah. The fear center exists. It's going to throw some stuff out there sometimes. And
yeah.
a lot of times it's, inaccurate. They're false misinterpretations, mm-hmm. right? We've talked about thinking biases, like our brains do their best to make sense of everything we're experiencing, but they take shortcuts. And oh God, poor Andy. I'm like, destroyed him. But
run around today.
Andy, oh my God, Andy's like the king of shortcuts. And, you know, he's half the time they really do save us time, and half the time it ends up, me kind of like bushwhacking through the woods and getting prickers in my face and cursing his name.
And then you do the wrong again high five, though.
And then we do the wrong again high five.
Mm-hmm.
Still
you guys are a really good couple, because he seems like a saint at a cursory level. And then once in a while on the podcast, you slip one of these in there, like, well, Andy takes terrible shortcuts. And then no woman listening to this feels bad for him anymore. You guys are a good match.
Oh, yep. Andy. Andy. Talking about, I remember kind of, I mean, this is related to fainting, so I'll share it just because it's funny. I remember kind of being pretty close to the other side of anxiety, like coming out of the thick of it, you know what I mean? Again, mm-hmm. we all experience anxiety from time to time. But I remember kind of being to the point where I was able to like travel again. We were flying somewhere, and I was still a little bit like in management mode, like kind of still waiting and fearful. It took a long time to get to that point where I really don't care if it's there or not. Like it literally means nothing to me. So at this point I wasn't quite there. And someone, again, Andy has like some people, speaking of like fainting, like a very small percentage of the population has what they think is like genetically inherited this fainting response to like needles and gross stuff. And it's a very small percent of the population, but like it happens to Andy's mom. It happened to, I think, his grandfather, grandmother, whatever. But if they like needles and stuff and him getting his blood drawn, like ever since he was maybe 12 or 13, he passes out at stuff like that.
That's so funny.
Yeah. It's pretty rare. Like I can tell you as a nurse, I think it's only happened to me once.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you're a wimp or anything. It just means you have this response.
Yep.
So funny.
You have this response, and Andy's got it figured out now. He like lays it. He's so proud because he's not as reluctant to get his blood drawn, because he's like, I just lay down for a few minutes. I bring my juice, and we're good. And so he's got it figured out. But
having now met Andy, I think this is really funny.
Yeah, he doesn't.
I bring my juice box
and I lay flat out, elevate my legs, and I'm good. It's not horrible.
Poor Andy.
But I remember being, again, fainting was like the first thing to grab me, and it was the last thing to go. As is our sticky stuff, right? It was like my white whale. And even though I had made quite a bit of progress at this point, we were sitting next to this woman on the plane that was, she was a nurse. So her and I
I remember this lady.
Yeah. We were talking nurse stuff, and she was talking about a surgery or whatever. And Andy fainted on the plane. I was like,
it gets me every time.
And poor Andy. I'm like, why are you doing this to me? Are you crazy? I'm never going to be able to fly again.
Doing this to me. Yeah. Cause it's like your first day out.
Yeah. It was like my first day out. I was like feeling nervous, but like okay about flying, you know, like I'm interacting. There was like that nervous excitement, not the paralyzing kind, and I'm working with it.
And then you love that phase when you're like a brand new baby, like I want to learn everything,
and you're like
the world is so bright,
and I can kind of walk now. So
and then some idiot faints right next to you and ruins your whole day,
and I know him because I've seen it happen. I looked at him, I was like, oh my God, he is fainting. I was like, how can you do this to me? Do you not know how hard this already is?
Oh, Andy, you're the best.
And he just like looked at, you know, it passes very quickly, but
yeah,
after
and
he
that
like,
yeah. has to be the oh. way that that is my the, my life is filled with these stories of like I thought I had this perfect experience lined up, and then somebody fainted, or so, like yeah. I got the gall to go out and work out for the first time, and then I heard somebody had a heart attack in the same gym. You know, like
yeah, that and you're kind like, of stuff. Oh and god, and that anxious mind just grabs on, and they're
it,
like, see,
well, it can,
yeah, it can,
or you can think it's really funny, like the irony is just dripping,
yeah,
from the ceiling. You know,
yep, oh yeah,
coincidence happens,
yeah, and I think since I care about him and I love him, I was more like kind of wanted to make sure he was okay. Like I was definitely having an adrenaline rush, but I was distracted a bit, like getting him his juice and, you know, a cold pack.
His juice.
Oh.
Does he carry it in like a fanny pack? What is his juice business?
He should carry it in a fanny pack just in case someone starts talking medical procedures. But yeah, I think it could have been. I'm surprised it wasn't a bigger thing, especially because it was like first day out. But we were laughing about it pretty quick, and he was good. Okay. That was kind of the takeaway. You know, he was fine. It was quick.
Oh, thank you for clarifying.
You know,
the literal last thing we had to say about that. I didn't even ask if Andy was okay.
Yeah, he's okay. So yeah, I just thought it was, it's something that I think could have really felt sticky and been a big thing. And, you know, I definitely in the moment I was like, why are you doing this to me? Don't you know I just got over this fear of fainting enough to go out into the real world? Like, how could you faint right now? And
I want to know what was going on in this lady's head next to you. Like, this poor woman who's just talking about her profession. This one guy faints. You're freaking out at him for doing it at you, you know?
Yeah.
And slapping him around with a juice box. Oh, God, I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah.
Sip your juice. Seriously, what does juice have to do with anything? Is it like a glycemic index thing? Or
yeah, just perch. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's like when...
Don't you do that for the diabetes, too? Give him juice?
Yeah, so like with... when someone, you know, so when someone kind of faints from like being grossed out by blood and stuff like that, it's called like a vasovagal reaction. And usually your blood sugar drops a little bit. So if you just give someone some juice, it just kind of brings them around and they feel better.
Cool.
Yeah.
I passed out giving blood once.
Did you?
Well, I don't know if I passed out so per se, but I think I was like,
came close. Yeah.
I was like 16 and probably not in the best health because no 16-year-old is, you know,
right.
I ate like Doritos for breakfast, lunch and dinner and drank Red Bulls or whatever I did.
Oh, God.
And I gave blood and I just remember waking up later, laying down, and they gave me juice. I was like,
did I fall asleep?
But what about the cookies?
Or did I?
Yeah, I was like, huh.
Andy calls it a mandatory nap, fainting. He's like, just taking my mandatory nap.
Andy, you are genuinely very manly.
It's again, worry. This like this would have not been funny to me 5 years. Like fainting is like no, it's, it no, took a long
somebody's
time.
Somebody's listening to this and it's like stop saying fainting.
Stop saying fainting.
We have a counter. Yeah. We have like a pitch count.
Yeah.
Of how many times we can say faint. You know what you shouldn't do when you're worried about fainting or getting lightheaded? This is what I did, and you're gonna be so mad. I Googled. Ooh, girl,
oh, yeah, so
I Googled.
I hit
Googled
my nursing
my
books.
Face off.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine somebody in the health field not freaking
curse
out.
Curse of knowledge. It was the curse
yeah,
of knowledge.
Yeah, it's like too much. The best thing you can do if you're like really freaking out about a whole thing is
talk
get a help, get a Google buddy.
Yeah.
Call your doctor.
Call it. Yeah, well, it's like it's okay to like be, you
that's
know,
the
if
best
it's
answer.
New. I was going to say, you know, hey. Yeah, there you go.
I have, like,
the second best.
The worst advice. I feel like poor people listening to this are like, Erica said, get a Google buddy, but the nurse said, call your doctor.
Well, but, you know, if you're really worried about something and you want to talk about it, like, that makes more, you know, it kind of makes more sense than Google because it's someone that's actually
absolutely.
Trained to assess and differentiate. Like, these, I have to say, like, you know, healthcare professionals are pretty good at differentiating between what's like a kind of real issue here and what's a manifestation of anxiety and stress and panic attack. So
I didn't believe that until like at first I thought, no, you're an idiot.
You're missing
there's
it.
Something wrong with
and you're missing.
I want to run all the tests and they are way more gentle than you think. And if you don't have a practitioner that's understanding of this, because this is so incredibly what 18 million people suffer from not just anxiety struggles that like the health anxiety. So it's incredibly common. And if you have a practitioner that doesn't understand that, Shop around.
Because yeah, that's what I say.
If you we can, should be around. This is a field where they absolutely should understand that this is confusing and we need some explanation and you need kind of a gentle hand saying, you really are okay. We've run the important tests here. You're fine. You're tougher than you think.
Right.
But let me explain how this works, like physiologically in your body. Say that word, physiologically.
Physiologically.
Is that the word I mean?
Physiology, how the body works. Yeah, that is exactly what
you do. You big nerd. I love it.
I love physiology.
You big nerd. It's but don't exciting. Google. Get a Google buddy.
And get a Google buddy.
I recommend that to all new moms. Do not Google what's wrong with my baby ever. Find me. I will Google it for you. Or I'll probably just write you back and say nothing's wrong.
And it's hard to kind of like, and I get like, it's like, yeah, but if I don't Google, it's irresponsible. But we didn't have Google. Like, you know, I mean, how new is Google? It wasn't.
It's not irresponsible. Right. The people putting this information on the internet, that's generic and basic and fear-mongering.
And fear-mongering. That is irresponsible. Oh, that
I
is
hate
irresponsible.
It. I hate that. That is, that's irresponsible.
It is. And they're kind of like playing off our basic kind of human instinct because the reason those fear-mongering, like this one person did this, and the reason that gets attention is because our fear center in our brain, that's not just people that struggle with anxiety, but
somebody
that
somebody is incredibly smart running these sites.
They understand human nature, that they really have this negativity bias, and that is really good clickbait for anybody, not
understand what clickbait is. Clickbait is exactly that. And there are advertisers. Every time you click something, there's an ad on the side. And it sounds very conspiratorial. I don't mean to sound that way. I just want people to understand everything you find on the internet isn't accurate or true or
like
applies to you.
Like we talked about kind of knowledge information overload last time. And maybe something we should have added was like, have your BS detector on, like, know what is good information. Don't waste your time on.
Right.
I've had, you know, I had one client telling me about a Facebook group she's in, and the person running it, like the way she was trying to support these people was totally counterintuitive to what I've learned in coaching psychology, which is like evidence-based. Like, make sure.
Evidence-based. You
know, evidence-based.
It's my favorite two things.
My favorite.
Evidence and base. if you feel afraid when you're in a quote unquote support group, or you feel like I need to,
or like I'm not good enough, or
yeah. You know, if it makes you feel gross in any way, you're probably not in the right place.
Yeah.
You trust your instincts there. There's a magnesium Facebook group that a cousin of mine, for some reason, is in, and she led me to, and I started reading some of these posts. I couldn't believe what I was reading. I was this close. You can't see my hands. I was this close to writing a strongly worded letter and saying, "You, the person running this is being incredibly irresponsible with this information, and you're fear-mongering."
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's to make money. I have no idea.
Well, because
I don't
it
like
works
it. So,
again, it's human nature. Like we're drawn to the negative because that's what needs our attention. That's what needs mitigation. And you know, it's again, it's not just those us struggling with anxiety. So
oh no, this is everybody.
Everybody. So that's fainting. We kind of understand why it happens, what we can do to maybe support ourselves a little, but also knowing. Listen, even if you can't regulate your breathing, it's going to pass just like anything and everything. It's going to pass. So if you can't get the breathing technique right down, it's okay. It's all right.
Yeah, don't worry.
And the more you kind of lean into it, the more you go through it, our brain does get the hint. It's kind of like, you know, the Roomba. The Roomba may hit the wall like a million times, but it eventually figures it out and like goes around the corner and continues vacuuming.
You
like
have the best freaking metaphors, and I'm so mad that you save these. You never share this crap with me, and you like whip them out. Remember the rotary one with neuroplasticity? I'm still mad at you about the rotary.
Oh, I love the rotary one.
I use that now.
Yeah,
you should have copyrighted it. Hey, I have a really important question before you do your little thing.
Sure.
Because the last podcast, you said that you were going to check in with us and let us know if you picked a paint color.
One, that's not fair because we just recorded the last podcast 20 minutes ago.
We record two in a row, and I just wanted to bait you into
you're so funny.
No, I am funny.
You
Kelly.
Are so funny.
I am like painfully funny. All right, do you
next
think, girl?
Week. Okay, all right. That's our episode. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and take a minute to write a review on iTunes so that we can reach and support more people. If you're looking for more resources like one-on-one coaching, courses, or have a question you'd like us to answer on the show, please visit notanotheranxietyshow.com. You can also get a free ebook there by subscribing to my newsletter. And until next time, remember, be kind to yourself.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.